So I'll go ahead and give you all a head start on the first scripture so that you're ready, because I know that first scripture drops. You're like, wait, my Bible's not warmed up. I'm not sure I'm ready for this. So you can start turning casually. Don't worry, we won't be there for a second. But 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. We'll start going there. No timer. Oh, man. That's okay. One of the things I was committed to was... on the shelf. One of the things I was committed to was keeping this short and simple. And I will admit, without external help, here it is, thank you very much, I will not keep it short and simple. There we go. I have a tendency to keep it long and complicated. but I have fun in the process. No, so today I do want to talk about simplicity. I want to talk about the official title of this is over-engineering, but I want to talk about simplicity and the simplicity that we have in Jesus Christ and God and what he teaches us. And this kind of started, I was having one of those moments a week or so ago with my wife where I was just incredibly frustrated, and somebody said, how are you doing? And I said, I'm stressed. I'm constantly stressed and I can't figure out why. And we were talking about it. And I realized it wasn't one big thing in my life. There wasn't a monumental event that I was preparing for that was overly stressful. But it was a thousand little things. And I asked myself, when did it become so hard to, I don't know, get a paycheck deposited or mail a letter or renew your insurance or take anything that you have to do a thousand times in a year? And when we were discussing it, what I realized was our world, especially here in America, and I know this isn't as true in other countries, but here in America where we live, we have over-engineered just about every process you can imagine. Unless you think that I'm making this up, trying to make a point out of nothing, think about what just happened, what was it, a week and a half ago with our pipeline, with gasoline, for half of America, right? Somebody wrote a computer virus that went in and messed up a computer, and now half of America can't get gasoline at gas stations. That wouldn't have been a problem 50 years ago, because there was no computer to hack into that controlled half of the pipelines in America. In order to shut down a pipeline in America, you would have had to collude with I don't know how many hundreds and thousands of people to all agree to not do their job, to stop pumping oil, to stop delivering and doing that. But we have gone and we've created a system that is so complex that one little thing can disrupt it and bring a nation to its knees. I had friends in other countries that were saying, how is that possible? How is the wealthiest country in the world not able to get gasoline, right? They're sitting in a third world country going, we can get gas. This isn't hard. And I had a hard time answering that because the source of over-engineering actually starts, I think, a lot of times with good. We desire to make processes better. We desire to improve on what we have. But at some point, we go past the basics and the necessities, and we create a complexity that ends up tripping us up. What I want to talk about is not so much how we've done that in society, because you can think about it, and I've got some wonderful anecdotes to share if you care. But I want to start with 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and see what God has to say about it. Nope, that's not it. I'm in the wrong... I did not turn while I was talking to you guys. You were turning. I was not. That is a formula for disaster. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Paul writes, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. In the King James, I think it has a better translation. That's the New International. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you go, simplicity in Christ. If you look at simplicity, you're simple in the Bible. Most references are to a fool. You go through Proverbs and you'll see lots of admonitions against the simple, you know, the simple or the unwise. But in this case, it's saying the things you need to understand for salvation, the things that are important that Christ wanted you to understand, they're not hard. And if you start listening to stories that people make up about, well, you just have to understand this secret knowledge. You just have to understand this and pull in this other scripture here. And when you add it to this piece of information, then you can finally understand the thing you want. And of course, we're human. We kind of want to know what that secret piece is. We want to have some advantage over others. And Paul's saying, that's not it. If you start wandering away from the very basics of Christ and his simplicity, you're going to trip up and you're going to get lost. To use the modern analogy, if you start putting layer after layer after layer onto your pipeline, someone's going to come along, write a simple little virus, and bring your nation to its knees, right? Because we live in a world that tends to over-engineer, that culture, no surprise, creeps into the church. You can talk over the years about people that have gotten into messages about this Greek word or the subtle meaning of that Hebrew word, and those are fascinating messages, but they're clearly not necessary for salvation. And how do I know that? Take a look at what Christ did. How many people, I'll ask this because this is actually over complex, I want to see a raise of hands. How many people know what Occam's razor is? How many people have heard of that? I'm impressed. Maybe a third of the audience. If you're not in on the secret knowledge, Occam was a philosopher in the 1300s. Spent a lot of time thinking about things. And what he realized was, if there's two ways you can explain something, if there's two theories or possible solutions to a problem, pick the simpler one. Because more often than not, it's right, and it's easier to test and prove out. What we've come to understand that as, in modern parlance, is the KISS principle. How many people have heard of the KISS principle? Okay, more hands. Not as many. Everybody here has heard of the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid, right? Because when you start complicating things, you get all sorts of kinds of problems, and you don't need that. So I want to go through very briefly here, and I want to show how Christ, who was God in the flesh, explained his religion. And compare it to how we do that, so that we have a nice contrast between the over-engineering that we tend to apply to Christianity and life and how God approached it. Stop and think about all the parables that Christ gave, first of all. How many of them took a college degree to understand? How many of them took a degree in sociology or psychology to understand? Not one of them. His analogies were things that people could relate to. They were stories. This man had a son, he went off. He spent his fortune, had a bad time, and came back, right? Everyone in the audience, no matter what their education level, got it. Every single one of them. Now, if they didn't have that spiritual spark, they may not have cared, they may not have unpacked it and see how it related to them. But they understood what he was saying. It was very simple. Look at the model prayer. Most of you could probably name it, right? It comes from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. Does it take a PhD in theology to understand what he was saying in there? Or is it so simple that we teach it to our kids? Is it so simple that little children know how to pray? They know the full formula of what you need in a prayer, right? And what was that? We say it's the model prayer. It was the Creator God teaching us in six verses how you talked to your Father, the God, which is probably one of the most important things we can do, right? Didn't take chapters, didn't take books. It was six verses. It was simple. No one walked away from that going, I'm not clear on what you meant by the third stanza of the model prayer. Can you unpack that? And yet people spend thousands of years analyzing it, writing commentaries on it, pulling it apart, which again, there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't need any of that. And if you depend on that, it will trip you up. You will get lost in some sort of knowledge that will take you away from the core that is the simplicity of Christ, which is what Paul was saying. Now, I've got two examples that I really love. So we'll turn there, because I think we have the time. First one, go to Matthew 12. I said I would compare this to how humans have done this. And it turns out when you compare it to the human, you'll see. I can't even begin to put it in terms. No one really knows the answer to how complex humans have made it. That's how complex it is. So if you go over to Matthew 12, verse 28. That's not showing up right. Is it Mark? I think I wrote down the wrong book. I always laugh when other people do this, and then I'm like, oh, this is not fun. You're a forgiving group. Let's try Mark 12, verse 28. See if that one's better. Yes, that one's much better. Try Mark 12. Much better than Matthew 12. Nothing against Matthew 12, but it doesn't apply right now. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And again, to frame this up, here you have the Creator of the universe, who laid out all the commands that humans have to know to live a successful life. And he's being asked, what's the important ones? Like, give me the real important parts that I need to follow, right? And what did Christ say? Did he pull out a volume of legal knowledge and dissertation on judicial interpretation? Verse 29, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. That's it. Love God with everything you've got. That is the most important command. It's summed up. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. Done. He wrapped up in, what was it, about 3 or 4 verses, all the judicial knowledge that you need to have to live in harmony with God and everyone around you. Simple. If you apply it, the application's hard, but the knowledge is simple. To put this in contrast, how many laws do you think humans have written? Just in the United States, let's keep this simple. How many laws? I Googled it. Nobody knows. Because there's so many, there's no one set standard of every law, which that should be troubling that you can't go, hi, I'm new to America, our Canadian friends. Show me all the laws. I'd like to do the laws. I want to brief on them in case don't. You can't do that. A little spoiler. You can't do that. No one has that. The only concrete number that I was able to get, just digest this. Remember, God took everything you need to know about living in the universe, boiled it down to 2. In the United States, it's estimated, because again, it's hard, there are approximately 20,000 laws just governing the use and ownership of guns. Just guns. Not arrows, not swords, not dynamite, just guns. Okay. So humans, I would argue, have over-engineered law. Because if that's true about guns, again, this isn't a statement about guns. It's a statement about, can you boil it down to something simple I can keep in my head? Humans can't. God can. Our religion should. The second one that was beautiful, and I won't turn there in the interest of time, is, you know this, this one's Mark 12, verses 14 through 17. Again, another trickster came to him and said, hey, should we pay taxes? Right? I'll lump this into kind of a combination of legal and financial, right? How many hours do you think someone could spend explaining tax laws and interpretations of financial legal stuff? Christ, he cut right through it, kept it simple. What did he say? Creator of the universe. Whose picture's on the coin? Caesar. Yeah, give Caesar what Caesar's owed. Wait, what? No, I need something I can fight back. I can owe it. No, that's it. Done. Simple. It couldn't be any easier. His answer was maddeningly simple, right? Us? Federal tax code. This one I do have an answer for. I think it was in 2018 or 2019. Anyone want to take a guess how many pages there are in the federal tax code? These are the laws, the rules that tell you how much you should pay Caesar. Whoever has 74,608 wins. So there's 74,608 pages of legal type telling you how you're supposed to pay Caesar. When and under what circumstances, and what's included, what's not included. I would argue, again, over-engineered. Creator of the universe, I'm not interested. Pay Caesar what he's owed. It's not relevant. It's not important. One final verse, Luke 18. You know this one, probably within a slightly different context. But effectively, Christ was trying to teach a lesson here. Luke 18, verse 15. And he says, this is how you approach salvation in the kingdom. Luke 18, verse 15 through 17. People were also bringing babies unto Christ for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. We oftentimes talk about that as a statement of humility, which is certainly true. But think about what children are even beyond humble. Why are they humble? They're simple. There is no complexity in a child. There's no deceptiveness. There's no layers of subterfuge. They just accept things as they are because it's simple. Christ was telling us in this that we need to keep our religion simple. That when we start wandering off into the weeds, as much fun as it is, and I love a good debate, I'll be the first one to admit that, but it gets us into trouble because it's simplicity that keeps us on the path that God set up. He did not design this process for us to be hard. We're not supposed to be tripped up. So anytime you sense that things are getting complicated, things are getting more complex than what you can process and handle, go back to the basics. Go back to the very pure simplicity of Christ, and that will keep us on the straight and narrow.